saw a very interesting story in from Ludwig Silberstein. Usually any good story comes from him. It sounded like this. There was a bacher who was in Shidduchim, and his friend, who was a newlywed, approached him and told him, you know, my wife thinks that she has a friend that would be a great shidduch for you. You know, we just got married, we don't feel confident that we'll be able to read the shidduch. Do me a favor, find yourself a shachtan, but we think this is a great idea. His bacher was a bit of a character, and he decided, instead of involving a shachtan, he was very good at playing with voices, he decided he's going to read the shidduch on his own. He calls up the father of the girl, and he portrayed himself as the Rosh Yeshiva, and he starts telling, what a great bacher, I'm going to read for you this bacher. And he probably said he has a great sense of humor as well. And it turns out that the shidduch went through, he continued this throughout the whole shidduch process. The perspective, the father-in-law at the vort was surprised that the person didn't come. He hands the bacher an envelope and says, do me a favor, give this to Rosh Yeshiva to pay him for the shalchanas. And now this bacher went and asked, is he entitled to take the money as a shatchan? Technically, had he not read the shidduch, had he gone to a shatchan, the father-in-law would have had to have paid to get someone to read the shidduch. So he was a yerdit, he saved the person the money. Is he right, correct, and that he may be entitled to take that money as a shatchan? Yes. In the Ludwig Silberstein stories, it's true. Whatever they are, that's the way the story goes. We'll see that, again, this is not a typical case. But I want to bring out the point with this. We'll soon see that it's a pashtus. He's not entitled to get money. We'll have to see why. And I want to just bring out a point with this as to who is entitled to get shachanos. So last week we started discussing the concept of a shachan, someone who read the shidduch, someone's the two sides in order to marry someone off. So halacha is, he doesn't have to be a professional shachan, he doesn't have to be a stam. Suppose any person who goes ahead and reads the shidduch, the minhag hayoyim is that that's a type of a service which is paid for, although he's doing it a shei mitzvah, and he's doesn't change the fact that since it's typically paid for, the same way a doctor who saves someone's life is also doing a tremendous mitzvah. The lemaisa, the understanding is that he's going to get paid for his service. So too, it evolved like that. That shatchanim are, although they're doing tremendous mitzvahs by reading shidduchim, the lemaisa, the mitzvah hayoyim is that it's a type of service which someone has to pay for. And irrelevant if someone made up that he's paying a shatchan or not. The halacha is that I have to go ahead and to pay a shatchan. Now, sometimes it happens that the person who's reading the shidduch is not interested in getting shatchanos. The person knows he has a neighbor, who has an older child, and he really is doing it l'shem shemayim, and he wants that the person, his daughter or son, who's older, should get married. And the shas he's reading the shidduch, he had in mind that he doesn't want to get paid for this. He's doing it, wants to do it l'shem mitzvah, he's doing it as a schus for someone. I mentioned Shazam said as a schus for to have children, maybe to read shidduchim. He's doing it, but b'shas ma'isa, he had in mind that he was going to do it for free. Then, after the shidduch happens, he starts thinking that, you know, maybe I provide them a service, the money is enticing at that point. Is he entitled to get shatchanis in that case or not? And the question is more of a general question, and it's something which is very common, where b'shas, a person provided a service, he didn't intend to get compensation. He was doing it because he wanted to do a favor to someone. There still are people who do favors for free. And b'shas, nicely, he did it for a mitzvah shavoy, or he did it because he was a nice person, he wanted to help out someone, and he didn't have in das b'chlal that he should get compensated for it. Is he entitled b'chiyai gavna to get paid? He mentioned to me the story of someone on a block. There's a house for sale over there, and he wanted this person to be his neighbor, so he went and told him about this house. And afterwards, he thought, maybe I could go ahead and get shatchanos. It's more of a general question. Every time someone provides a service, which that service is something which in the world people sometimes pay for, but he, b'shas, he did the service, did not do the service in order to get paid, is he entitled to get paid for that or not? So the halacha b'etzem is, more like this in the Rif, it's more like this in common places in Shulchan Aruch. If a person does a service to someone, and b'shas he did the service, he did not intend to get paid, he's not allowed to ask for compensation for that case. If Lloyd takes it in Pesach Chayshin, he speaks out this halacha very clearly, and he says if a person doesn't inform the person that this is something that I'm not, that I did at the Bishas, I did it. I did it for free. It's called a Pasha the Gazel. Gazel b'yodai. Because the halacha is that a person who provides a service to someone, Bishas is providing the service, his intention was to do it for free, and the halacha is he's not entitled to get money. Now that being said, the stummiest understanding is that when someone provides a service to someone else, the halacha of that is that he is entitled, the stummiest is that he's doing it in order to get free, in order to get paid. After the other person says, well, you know, you're my friend, you're such a good friend, I thought you were doing it for me for free, he's not vada na nema. That's mefurish in the Mechaba in the Arman, in Simenesh Mavov. Arman is an interesting case, which we discussed a few times. Someone tells his friend, you know, I want to provide a meal for you, come, let's have lunch. And then afterwards he sends him the bill for eating it. And then he says, someone who is Misha Michael, he has a son-in-law in Bita, he provides food for his son-in-law after the amount of time, they used to give cash, they used to provide them food directly, so he used to give them to the meals, he kept them, feed them after the time that they made up in the nab, and how much he should get paid. So the halacha is, and then afterwards he turns to his son-in-law and says, by the way, you know, the past few years I was providing meals for you after the time, I want you to pay. This might not be the greatest idea if you have other kids on the market, but the halacha is, that if I teveya from my son-in-law money after he gets paid, but the Ramah then says a klal. So the Agdor is like this. If there's a chocho that he gave it l'shem atonah, the Ramah mechuyif to go ahead and to pay. But in absence of a chocho that he gave it l'shem atonah, we don't ever assume that there is that the person did it l'shem atonah. So the halacha is that if a person does something l'shem atonah, the halacha is that the matonah is chal, and he can't go ahead afterwards and charge for that. But the stummiest, the stam das, when a person does a service, even if he's a good friend of his, it won't change that the stummiest is that the person who read this shidduch, or provided a chaylimi, gave food for someone, all these types of cases where I have a right to charge you, the stummiest is that I am doing it in order to get paid. If there's an umdun of the muchach, that the reason why I did it was not to get paid, then the halacha would be that I won't be mechuyev to get paid. Then it's potter. So Ramos says clearly it has to be muchach that he gave it l'shem atana. Then afterwards, so the reason why he's charging now is because there was a fight afterwards. And then, but the bar is a very high bar. You have to be able to prove that the reason why he gave it was l'shem atana. If in absence of being able to prove it, the stummiest is that it was done. If you, no, okay. He doesn't have to tell him, okay. Once it's the other way around. What?
I mean, today, it
wouldn't
be like that.
Again, today, any time that there's a tzad, that the reason why I gave you this was to get paid. You're right, you're saying there's no that. So in eating, when you come over for a meal, for Shabbos, there's no such thing. But let's say they're involved in a business, and a person gives a son some money to invest in the business. Right. Did he give it to him that he should have it outright? He's planning on getting it back. So, the same question could play itself out in different scenarios. I promised you for the first few years I'm going to cover the expenses of your business, and afterwards I continue covering them. Was it stummiest that I gave it to you? Yes or no? You're right. The same idea. No, very good. That's exactly what's Mavur Der Mofaket. Mavur Der Mofaket is that when I give you something, even though I provide a service and I don't speak out with you, that I plan on charging you for that, and there are most cases where they made up a certain amount of years and I continue giving it after, that you can't just assume that there's a matan. That's exactly what I'm coming to Bila Fuke. Now you're right, in the case that sometimes eating coming out for Shabbos send them a bill, maybe there's such a mundu demucha, but it wasn't done in order to get paid. But there are cases, there are scenarios that could play itself out similar to those times, but the understanding of what the Ramah is telling Rebecca Halacha, that any time you want to make a claim that the person provided the service for you or gave you an item, l'shem matano, it's incumbent on you and it has to be umdu the muchach in order to be made from the fact that it's a matana. In absence of being able to be umdu the muchach that it was given l'shem matana, the assumption is always that he did it in order to get paid, and you're so, although you're coming to get money from him, still you may have been mitzi, you still be able to be entitled to be mitzi the moment because the understanding is that he did it in order to get paid and didn't do it l'shem matana.
Someone sitting eating in his kibbutz for 3 years and he didn't say anything. Why is that not a mitzvah?
Because I guess it was still normal enough to do it. But if you see that he did it with all the other children and he's not asking them for money, and the punk this one he got into fight when he's asking for money, that would be a case of an under the book. He did it for his past 10 kids, and this one he got into fight with, and now he's charging him money. And he's not asking for the other ones for money. Why him? Not him? It must be because of the fight of the Shas Mais. If he wasn't in a fight with him, then he could assume that he's only asking for the money then. So this is, but what's the svara of this is, and the Sivis and Simen Yud Beis, Siv Katan, Hey, said that the reason why a person who does a service without the intention that they should get paid for that service is not entitled to go ahead and to ask for money. He says, although it's a machloikas, it's a very complicated sugya, about what happens in his mechila b'lev work. A person owes someone else money, and the person who's owed money decides, he's thinking, okay, you know what, the person's struggling, maybe I want to be meichelim. There's a whole sugya of mechila b'lev, he never articulated, he never spoke out, that he's meichel, just down in his das, he thought that he wants to be meichel, the person does mechila work or not. But the Nesiva said that that's not a tzushtel to these types of cases. Although there's a tremendous machloikis, does mechila b'lev work, when a person provides a service with someone, and b'shas ma'ase, he didn't do the service in order to get paid, it's not a vada mechila b'chlal. A service which is provided without expectation to get paid is a service which is the person doesn't owe you money b'chlal. So it's not pshat that you have a chiv, and the person removed the chiv by deciding to be meichel, but it is a service which is provided because you have a good friend, and you want to help out his children, and you read a shidduch to him, and your intention was to do it just as a favor to him. That service that I'm providing is service that there is no tashlumen for. It's not pshat that I own the money automatically and he's meichel. He says, this b'chlal doesn't not nichlal in the chiv, and meichel is up there in such a case there is no chiv b'chlal. That's just the svar of what the Nesivis gives to this halacha, but the halacha seems very clear that if a person provides a service and at the time when he provided the service there was no intention that he should get paid for that, there is no chiv to go ahead and to pay him for that service. Reb Loi in Pesachesh takes it a step further. He says, nearly as daiti, shachim liyod b'shas ma'isa sheyachol tvoyim emenuschai. I didn't know that I was able to pay him, to get paid for this. Let's take a typical case. A person always, anyone who sends him a referral, he gives a 10%. And the person is a friend of his, he gives him a referral because why not? He knows that he's in the business and sends him a referral. The halacha is, if I didn't know b'shas ma'isa that the person was, the Reb Loi is saying a chiddush, I didn't know b'shas ma'isa that I would be entitled to get paid. And I didn't stop stumbles. Napshot is that I knew that it was that people get paid for it, and I decided I want to do them a favor and do it for free. I didn't know b'chlal in such a case that people ever pay for this. Dr. Boy, even in that case, I'm not allowed to get paid. But achach neidu loy, the loy, the mechila b'tayis. Napshot that it's like I was mechila b'tayis. Kivin shemetchilo l'neskav l'neskar, he's a k'neisim loy matana. So I gave him a present. And he says it's limited to this nesivis, and he shall do this halacha. So at any time a person does a favor to someone, and he doesn't know that he can get paid for it, and only finds out afterwards that he's entitled to get money, then afterwards he goes ahead and mons the person. Look, you might see you pay for this referral, or you pay for this type of service for that, and he goes and asks for money, he'll it's gazel, because if this person knows, as always said, you need umd nuchat to be meitzit, but the person himself, Avada, knows that he did it, shaloy al-das, to get paid, he didn't have intention, b'shas he was doing it, that he wants to get paid for this action, and he's not entitled to go ahead and to charge for this type of work. Again, the stam, the summit of a shidduch usually is that a person does it with the intention to say, is it so enough, it's that people pay for shidduch, and probably in his mind he had that he would get paid. But if a person knows, bevadeh, that the shas he read the shidduch, he had no intention to go ahead and to get paid, in such a case, the halacha would be that he's not entitled to go ahead and to ask the person for any compensation, and if he goes ahead and asks him for that, it would be gazel. So then the boy speaks out that about it, if the reason why he did it was betayis, it's gazel b'yadav. If he thinks that he owes the money and he gives it to me because he thinks he owes it, and I don't inform him that my task was not to do it for free, he considers that gazel.
And if I inform him?
If I inform him and he wants to give it to me anyway, so it's a matana. There's nothing wrong with someone going ahead and giving a matana, it's a nice thing, it's a whatever. But you wonder, it changed then from the, there's no tayis then. You know, what makes a gazel, if the person thinks he owes me money and goes and pays me that, and I accept that under wrong assumption, so then that's gazel. But not if the person knows that Ikir Dini doesn't have to give me the money, the person wants to give it to me anyway, so he's giving a regal matan, there's nothing, maybe say matan asichia, but there's nothing wrong with that, with a person, about that such a case wouldn't be even a strach of gazel.
Is there a lot of change for a wife? In other words, the wife did it for free?
So I actually saw a whole tshuva on this. It's a very good question. So they want to say that it's totally it's totally in the lumbus of what I said before. That means if there's a machloikus, how a wife is zeicha in the Maisi Yidayim, how the Baal is zeicha. Is he zeicha directly, or she zeicha in it, and then gives it to him? So if she's meichel, then it may be talking about machloikus. But I saw Nachman from Mendel Shafran, he wants to say that if Hayyus over here, when I the Shas I provided the service, that we mentioned for the Nesivis, the Shas, I did something which I didn't ever have a right to get paid for, so there, if the wife is meichel, the chiluv would work. And if the wife read the shidduch and she didn't intend to get paid at all, so she didn't ever provide a service which has a value to it that the baal is zeichen the ma'aseh yidayim. If it's something that she was mechuyev to do, maybe she can't be meichel. If it's something which is not part of a regular chiyuvim that she has to the husband to go ahead and to do that work, and she rather decided to do it for free, so she decided to do it free, there's no chiyuv. If the case would be that it's something which after she already did the work, she wants to decide to be meichel, that could be not so posh, then it'll be totally in the lumdus of how a baal azeicha in Ma'aseh Yidayim of his wife. Abakaponim, this shaila is very negeya in real estate and other places where people pay, and it's very common that there are machloikes in this thing. I put from the Yashiva Tov and the Kovitz over there. This case, very often a person is a mashal selling a house. And a real estate agent goes and shows him, oh, you know, I have this person is selling a house. I think this house is in the area that he's looking for. And he shows him that house. It turns out that the house that he showed him is something that he's not interested in. But b'shas he was talking to the seller, he realized that the seller has another house in a different neighborhood. And that's very, very matim to him. Or he's looking for something for two different things, looking for a house, looking for something for his business. And it turns out that based on this introduction to this seller, it turns out that they ended up making a deal different than the deal that he originally started with. So is the person who made that introduction, the broker, entitled to get the brokerage fee or to get chatchanis in such a case? So l'chayr, they would follow the same yisoid. If the person did not have it in mind, the person introduced this person to the other person in order to sell a particular house. The fact that he had another house for sale and he didn't think that the person would be interested in that, he wasn't a broker on the other house. So he didn't l'chayr anything which comes out, it's so which comes out, which is not something which I intended to, that wasn't the action that I was doing in order to get paid for, l'chayr would be nichol on this halacha and the person would not be entitled to get paid for as a broker in such a case, although it came about because of his introduction to the other person, but he l'maisa didn't broker that particular deal, so that introduction is not, there was no chiyuv just for an introduction to the person, would happen that if the person has, I know this person's a wheeler dealer, and I know that this person is always interested in different deals, and I try to make an introduction with the das and I understand that there's a lot of different potential deals could happen from this, then it would possibly change. Or similarly, if a person, let's say, like that sells it by development, and I think the person's interested in one model, and it turns out they buy a different model, but in those cases, I would be entitled to get paid. Because the stam das was, I made this introduction to see if he has something over here, one of these houses in order to go ahead and to sell it. But if it's clear that the intention was that they were, I introduced them to this person in order to show him a particular house, and it turns out they made a different deal, in those cases they would not be mechuyev. Again, this leads sometimes to very big machloekes, and what did I mean, did I mean, and very negay also residual deals, I introduced you for one deal, it turns out that they continued doing other deals based on the first deal, is he entitled to get on the residual, on those other deals or not? Again, it's a lot of this is totally in what the minig is, and it's also totally in what the intention of the person is when he introduced him, did he introduce him for the long term, introduce him as a one-time thing? Again, these are very complicated challenges, but it revolves around this halacha, the understanding is that a person, in order to be entitled to get chatchanis, in order to get entitled as a broker, would have to be that it was yerid abbas's deal in order to get that compensation. Now, another interesting application of this halacha is the Pesukim discuss. Let's say take a scenario that there are people who come from two different backgrounds, and there's a shadchan who convinces both sides that this shidduch will work, although there gets past all the stereotypes and they have to come across in shidduchim, and he's makarav these two sides, and they realize that you know could be that the shidduch would work. He goes ahead and reads the shidduch. Both sides agree to it. They go out. And it turns out that the boys and the girls' personality don't mesh exactly. But the girl says, you know what, I think this shidduch would be great to my twin sister. So although she goes ahead and reads the shidduch, tells her parents, you know, this boy is really a great boy. It's not my personality. It won't work. But for my sister, I think it would be a very good idea. Parents agree to that. And this other sister, this twin, was working with a different shatchan a lot, so they decide to go to another shatchan to go ahead and to read the shidduch. And Baruch Hashem, they get engaged. Who's entitled to shatchanis? I'll break it into three people to claim shatchanis over here. The person who read the shidduch to sister one. He isn't claiming that he has entire Chakonis because it came about because he introduced them. The sister might have a claim that she thought that it would be great for her sister, so she also wants to take a piece of the pie to claim that she's a Shatan. And the final Shatan will, I guess, get the remainder of what of all will be left. So this, interestingly, is a machlokes in the earlier Pesukim. There's a Tshuva's Har HaKarmel, which discusses such a case. And the Tshuva's Har HaKarmel says that the Shatan is actually entitled to get, the original Shatan is entitled to get a percentage of the Shachonis, like a master. But if you look at what he says, it's not applicable today. He says over there like this. He says, the ikur of a shidduch is the mechutonim. The ikur is that the family sort of should shtin, the mechutonim, and they come to an agreement to how much the nadin should be. So even though it's cases where we're ready to shid to one girl, they don't work out, and they end up getting engaged to the younger sister. He says, since the ikur was as makar of the two sides, in that these two families sort of meshed together, and they worked at how much the nadin should be, since they worked that out, he says, I'm entitled to go ahead and to get compensation as a master, though I've been read the shidduch, I'm going to get it. And Leah's dieting today, it's not, I don't know if that's the ikur of a shidduch. Again, if you look at the tshuva of the High Carmel, the girl was 6 and 12. I don't think they were going out when they were 6 years old. I don't think the girl who was 12, who read it originally, who was going out right then. The personality of the girl and the boy was not the ikur, so the shuva was written 150 years ago. That wasn't the ikur of a shidduch. The time when the shuva was written, probably the ikur of the shidduch was that the families sort of had the same ideals, the same. And once they got engaged, it worked out. Hayoim, where the ikur of the shidduch seems to be that the personality, and they go out, and the personality of the boy and the girl have to sort of work and have to mesh. So to say that the original shatchan was makar of daitam, and that played a role in the shidduch, although definitely, and even if this is the case where they came from different backgrounds, and I got them to agree to go out. But myself to say that's one of the main points of a shidduch, and it's not so posh that it would be applied today, huh? Even by Hasidim, there's a lot they go out. They used to just look because of the kind of din of the Gemara that you have to see it. They got engaged at 12 years old. They didn't get married until much later. So that means it didn't play a role at all. Today, even by Hasidim, they go out a few times, and even that it definitely plays a strong role as to whether or not the personality is matched. To say that you could apply that tshuva hayayim, tzarech yeh. Anyways, Abnenez argues on this, and this is when I get to this. Abnenez is very interesting why he argues on this Tshuva's Har HaKarmel. So he has a few different reasons. His first thing is, he wants to say that his job was not really as a master. He didn't really introduce the shidduch. And there's three parts to the shidduch. And we'll get into this more parichas in the coming weeks, but there's a master, there's an emtzai, and a geyler. There's a master who introduced the idea. There's emtzai is someone who is mekar of the two sides together, and then there's a gomer who's someone who. Now over here he's not a maso. A maso, who did he read the shidduch to? He read the shidduch from a boy to the older daughter. The maso, he never read it to the younger daughter, so he's not a maso. But he wants to make the argument that he's emtzai. The maso, let's say he did taka brought the two families together. He made it ideal for them that these two. So he called that an emtzoi. He's the person who's makar of the das, that now the shidduch should work, but he's a circle slave, not a master, because he didn't introduce the two parties to each other. And the maaser will see, barichas on this, that the emtzoi, someone who's makar of the das, if he wasn't involved, is either the person who originated the shidduch, or the goyimer, the person who finished the shidduch, it's a big machloek in the first game, whether or not he's entitled to shachonis b'chlal. He brings from the Piskachuva, B'Shem saying the Chukederech, that there's no shachonis. Shev Yaakov, maybe hold it, there is a concept of paying emtzoi. I think Hayyim, the minigas, we don't pay emtzoi. We'll have to see b'chlal if he's a player in the shidduch, or his role is only as an emtzoi. But then Zakhtar Nenez is much stronger. And Nenez says, when a person reads a shidduch, he reads a shidduch from family A to family B. Who is he, and we put it in the Maram Kremis last week, we went through it, who is he reading the shidduch? Who is he providing the service to? Ultimately, a person reads from one boy to a girl. Is he providing a service to the girl or to her parents? So the Rabbeinu over here says, the Dava Pasha, that the person who I'm yearned for, the person who I intended to be Mahana, was the girl. Although her parents are the one who maybe paid to make the payment, because that's the minig, understanding is that the parents are the one who pay Shachonis, but who was I being yearned for? Zakta Abnezer, I did it to be Mahana, the girl. I never did it for a younger sister. Zakta Abnezer, in this case, I'm not a Yerid B'chlal. Because who did I read it to? I read it to the older daughter. The fact that the younger daughter got engaged to him, so he says on that, I might have been tired of two mishpachas, but with Shas Maisa, who is my intention to be Mahana? With Shas Maisa, my intention is Mahana, the older daughter. Yes, I did it for the older daughter. The fact that the younger daughter now got a benefit from that, that's not a Yerid. So on the girl side, I don't get anything. But on the boy side, I want it to be mekar of the two families. So Zakta Abnezer, it could be I get a chelik of that. So he says the most I would get is a sixth. But Dr. Abinezer, since there's a machloika, it's a six because the maskil maybe gets, he calls it really amtsoi, which maybe is not entitled, but a lulay would be true like the harakamel, that would be considered a maskil, or amtsoi also gets a third. So he gets on one side, which means he gets a six. Dr. Abinezer, since here it's a machloika, so amtsoi he gets, machlal, so he says maybe they should make a pshara on a 12th. And even if they can't, if the person doesn't want to pay the 12th, make it the dinah, he can't be motzi mamon. But here we see the same yisoid from Abinezer, go back to yisoid, that if the person reads a shidduch, and he did it for one deal. And it turns out that a different, something else works out, if I have such a case, there's no such concept of paying for a yared, because in order to be entitled to get paid for a yared, it has to be that the deal that I tried brokering, that deal ended up working. So I read a shidduch to one sister, and it turns out that the parents decide it's not for them, but back to that sister, it turns out for a different sister. So the Abinez is saying the posh that it's on the girl side of upon him, there'll be no tzad that that person's entitled to shadchanos.
Why are you taking
out
over now?
We're getting there. Why? Still have 5 minutes. I still have another half hour, but I'll try to get this in before 5 minutes.
Why 12?
Because it's a suffix on a sixth. So he wants to split it, make a pshara on the sixth. The sixth it starts off at the most he would have gotten was a third, and he gets a third from one side, turns it into a sixth, and he split the sixth into two, it's a 12. Now, as far as whether or not the sister over here, who let's assume that the twin, so now Rachel decides, she was also mourning Shadchanis over here, because she said that she realized that this shidduch wasn't for her, but she thought, actually Leah, she thought it was for Rachel, fine. So she thought it was for her twin sister, and it turns out that it was Taka right. Is she entitled to get Shadchanis, like upon him as a maskil, she introduced the shidduch, although he ultimately used a different chaplain, is she entitled to get Shadchanis? So over here, so I saw Machloikas in Ein Tegepoiskin. And this in Kerelitz assumes that the halacha is that if a person reads a shidduch to his parents for a sibling, there's no shadchanos. And he's assuming that the reason why he's reading the shidduch is not to get paid. The reason why he's reading it is because he wants to do a teva to her sister or to her brother or brother-in-law, whatever the cheshbon is. But when someone does for an immediate family, a person goes ahead and reads the shidduch to the immediate family, it's not done in order to get paid. And this girl says, even if you read it to the other side also, and I work on the shidduch, the intention b'shas I'm reading the shidduch is always to be mative to my sibling, and in meila I'm not entitled to get paid.
And if not, you don't get
separate. Sorry, sir. L'maisa. What? Yeah, but the standing is when it's done for not done to get paid, it wouldn't get paid. Now, he does fear Reus, Mr. Kerelitz fears Reus, and this comes from the Chazanish, we mentioned it last week, so Mr. Kerelitz is very into this, that he says, there's all these stories of the Kepedas with people that get Shadchanis, he says you should give something in order that it shouldn't be a Kepeda, but you don't have to give like a Shadchan Rogel, he doesn't say Medina Yimuchu you have to give, but he says, yes, but the Kepedas and people are scared of them, so you should give something. So I saw other parts come to argue on this. They seem to assume that it's not like that. They seem that you could get shadchanos. But his daikid is not a real machloikas and din. The machloikas is what people's expectations are. When a person reads a shidduch for his sibling, does he have an expectation that he's going to get paid or not? If the expectation is that he should get paid, then he'll be entitled to pay. Again, we have to create an umdu the muchach in order to be moitziyat. So Hayoyim, again, someone's telling me that today, very often they do give something. Again, I don't know what the minig is. But again, it's a machloikas between Anissa Kerelitz and Evloi as to whether or not a sibling would be entitled to get shadchanos. And the yisoid of the machloikas is based on this yisoid, which we said a bunch of times, is that when someone does a shidduch, if someone reads a shidduch, if he does it in order to get paid, then he is entitled to get paid. If a sibling says, the shasi reads the shidduch, that I'm doing it because I want to get shadchanos. He did it he's entitled to get paid. He's doing it only for that, and he's entitled to get paid. The question just is, what was the understanding b'shas he read the shidduch? He assumes that the understanding was that he wouldn't get paid, and they assume that the understanding is that he would get paid. The question is, you're right, you could ask him, but the question is, what's the understanding? If he says it will have to automatically give him, or not, would be whether or not it's an umdenor, if he's saying that sort of an umdenor, he did it, shaloyal v'asked to get paid, and he's saying not like that.
In this case, it would be from both sides.
If Mr. Krell says that on both sides I don't have to give, because even when I'm reading a shidduch to that side, I'm still doing it always to do it for my sister. So now we get back to the original case. This bacher, although he was playing this sort of trick over here to play Mr. Shadchan, now his intention wasn't to get shadchanos, his intention was to get engaged. So since his intention was, in order to get engaged, avada would be poshut, and in such a case, I wouldn't have to go ahead and give him any shadchanos, because the reason why he did it was in order to get engaged and not to... that was the story. He did it himself. He did it himself. Okay, we ran out of time, but there's a whole... Actually, there's two other parts, I guess, that I wanted to get to in this year. One is how much a shadchan, which is also a very common dispute, or something that comes up, a person's not sure how much shadchanis he actually has to give after a shidduch gets made, how much is a person mechuyev to give. And the second part that I hope to get to this week was what happens when there's a shidduch that gets placed in different areas. Shadchan lives in Eretz Yisrael, the chosen is from America, the kal is from England. In different places all have different fees. How to work out how much a person shadchan is entitled to, and that shem will have to be mashlum next week. Oh, I got a third through this. He's like a hack. You got bombarded with questions.
When it's a family member.